Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show right here on KGYM.
Well, we're in the home stretch, the fourth and final hour of day one at Big Ten Media Days. Big thanks to Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City for not only sponsoring the countdown to kickoff, but the culmination of it as well, our trip to Chicago every year for Big Ten Media Days. 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa. On 1600 AM, the historic main gym, it's the Todd Brommelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn. And as promised, Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com is with us. And you're in the middle of a Media Days tour, coast to coast here, but it's always good to see you back in the Big Ten where you started. How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. Good to be with you guys.
Kind of an interesting day here today with the different personalities that we've had as the coaches coming through. Urban Meyer, Mark D'Antonio, P.J. Fleck making his debut tomorrow, but he hit up Radio Row earlier today, Kirk Ferentz. What was your big takeaway from day one here?
You know, I wasn't in the podium room as much, but I think a couple of things. There were some announcements from the commissioner, Jim Delaney, that were notable. The new television contract, which had been reported but finally out there. Some of the scheduling news as far as FCS games coming back on the schedule for certain years when teams don't have enough home games they can fill. As far as the coaches, I did speak with Mark D'Antonio at length about the last year and how difficult it was for him and for his program to not only struggle on the field but have some very troubling off-field incidents involving players. And his quote to me was, hey, we're up against it and we know it. When you have a season like that combined with off-field problems, there's going to be pressure. And this is a team that had an incredible run from 2013 to 2015. They won 36 games out of 41. And now they're facing some adversity. And it just shows you guys how quickly things can change in college football. Michigan State, a team we're not talking about right now in that East Division, but a team that not long ago was one of the most dominant in this conference, if not the country.
How big of a year is this for Mark D'Antonio? Because not just wins and losses on the field, but to try to get some kind of positivity back around this program.
Well, yeah, as you know, the only way you do that is by winning.
That's
and,
true.
Certainly staying out of the news for negative reasons is important, and he does feel good about the accountability on this team. But in many ways, I do think they have to reclaim that locker room and remember what got them to that point where they had such great consistency. And I look at their schedule, and I don't see a lot of games they will definitely lose, but I see a lot of games they can lose. And that's what concerns me, if they can't beat Notre Dame, if they can't, win a game at Northwestern, if they can't beat some of the teams in the East Division that they need to beat. You still have Michigan, you still have Ohio State, you still have Penn State, and right now those three rosters are more talented than your roster. So it is a very important year for them to at least get back to a bowl game, like you said, generate some positive things. But to Mark's point that he made to me, they were very young last year and they were very beat up. And the quarterback position especially, but also other spots. So if they can figure out the quarterback spot, get some consistency there, and then stay healthy, they are still a good coaching staff with a lot of talent on the team.
Adam Rittenberg of ESPN.com joining us. Urban Meyer and the Buckeyes, pretty much the heavy favorite in Las Vegas. Is there a team or two that you think could give them a legitimate challenge this year?
Absolutely. I mean, again, the last time we saw Ohio State, they were getting embarrassed. So I think in this league, we're just conditioned to assume that they're going to be better. And they should be better. I mean, they're older along the offensive line. They're older at wide receiver. They have one of the most experienced quarterbacks in the country. But it's not just automatically going to happen. And I think we'll get a really good gauge, guys, on Ohio State in that Week 2 game against Oklahoma. That's an Oklahoma team, Ohio State, completely outclassed in Norman last year. But then an Oklahoma team that went on to win their remaining games, including all 9 games in the Big 12. So that's a motivated team with a Heisman Trophy candidate at quarterback coming into the horseshoe. And I think that will give us a sense of where Ohio State is and whether they are beatable. I do believe they are. I think Penn State won this league last year. They returned their quarterback and their running back. Talking to James Franklin today, I know he's excited about the offensive line, which was the area that was hurt the most by the sanctions a few years ago. And I think Wisconsin is a team they can challenge as well. They bring back a very solid core on defense. Michigan's a big mystery. I think talent-wise, they could get there, but they're going to have to be a team that improves throughout the course course of the season. Last year, they were really a team, I thought, that peaked midway through the season rather than at the end of the season. That's not going to be the case this year if they want to challenge for the Big Ten championship.
Urban Meyer has been frustrated over the past couple of years since Tom Herman left for Houston with the offensive production in some games. And you look at that game against Clemson in the college football playoff, I think that was kind of a tipping point. He makes wholesale changes offensively. He brings in Kevin Wilson. What kind of fit do you think this is going to be for Ohio State?
I think if Urban Meyer lets Kevin Wilson do what Kevin Wilson does, they're going to be fine. His track record as a play caller and as an offensive architect is phenomenal. He did it at Indiana. He did it at Oklahoma. He did it at Northwestern before that in the Big Ten. And so I think, you know, Kevin and Ryan Day overseeing that quarterback position and the offense is a good thing. And, you know, it's difficult for Urban Meyer, who obviously has a tremendous track record on offense and calling plays, to really let his guys do their work. But I think if he does stay out of the way, they have a chance to make a significant jump. I think Kevin Wilson will attack downfield. I think he'll take care of his offensive line and not put them in bad positions. I know Urban Meyer talking today about Mike Weber. He wants to see him become a more of a premier running back in this conference and thinks that he can do that. And then we'll just see with JT Barrett. I mean, not long ago, he was one of the most feared players in the country. He did not end last season that way. He was a bit gun-shy, seemed to take off running a lot of the times, in part because that offensive line was not very good, especially on the edges. I think they'll be better up front, and with a new play caller, with a little bit more of an impressive track record in Kevin Wilson, at least from a coordinator standpoint, they should be better on offense.
Do they have the best and most and deepest defensive line in college football?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good group. You know, Alabama, I know, lost a lot, so it's probably not them. There are some other groups around the country. Clemson, once again, will be loaded. They may not have the depth Ohio State has, but in terms of their, you know, front four, and I would even say five or six, they right there with Ohio State. So I think it's those two, but with Tyquan Lewis returning to school, which I think surprised some people, that Ohio State is set up to be excellent on the defensive line. And if that offensive line can take a step forward, that's how you win, and that's how they've always won. And I think they'll be a team that puts a lot of pressure on opposing teams.
One of the more interesting stories today, the Chicago Tribune broke this. Wisconsin and Notre Dame are going to be starting up a series where they play here at Soldier Field. Is it just me, or does it seem like Wisconsin is the team that has to sort of carry the mantle for the Big Ten in some of these high-profile non-conference games?
Well, it's interesting because for years they didn't do that. They were a team, Barry Alvarez didn't schedule a lot of tough opponents, and then they got into that business. And I think it's great because, you know, they had a game against Alabama. They were, you know, lost the game but weren't embarrassed. Then they had a couple of games against LSU, both of which they should have won. They did win one of them, and I think it did a lot to really raise their profile nationally. And I think when you're playing in the West Division, there aren't as many games where people are going to pay attention to you unless you get those crossovers with Ohio State or Michigan or Penn State. So this is another way for Wisconsin to be on the national radar early in the year. Notre Dame here in Chicago, it's obviously a connection with Barry Alvarez, the former Notre Dame defensive coordinator, a lot of connections historically between those two programs. So it's great to see other Big Ten programs branching out and playing Notre Dame. It's not just the Michigan schools, but you have Ohio State on the schedule in the out years. You have Northwestern next year hosting Notre Dame, now Wisconsin. So it's a good natural thing, and I'm always for games that serve the fans because there's not enough of them. And that's certainly one that does for both fan bases.
This is always a subject in Iowa City with the Iowa Hawkeyes and their scheduling, their non-conference scheduling. And I agree with you. I think that the way that Wisconsin has scheduled over the past 5 years has elevated their stature nationally. Would it behoove the Iowa Hawkeye football program to go out and schedule tougher in the non-conference against maybe a neutral site game against a Power 5 opponent?
I would love to see it. Now, I'm not running an athletic department, and I don't have to meet a budget, and I understand where these athletic directors are coming from. We have to have a certain number of home games to fund our sports. But I think every so often it would be great to see Iowa branch out and play an additional Power 5 opponent aside from Iowa State. Because until Iowa State, you know, makes significant strides, and it may never happen to where they're a team where, oh my God, they got to beat Iowa State, Iowa's not going to get that respect from a schedule standpoint. So they're going to be relying completely on winning the Big Ten West or beating an Ohio Ohio State or a Michigan or a Penn State to get national recognition. They're never going to get it from their non-conference schedule. So one way, I mean, I was at the Wisconsin-LSU game last year at Lambeau. Wisconsin wins that game. It really changed the way people were talking nationally about Wisconsin. The only way that'll ever happen for Iowa is for them to schedule someone other than Iowa State.
We had P.J. Fleck on with us today, and I want to get your thoughts on whether or not you think he can be successful at Minnesota, because you take a one-win team at Western Michigan, and 3 years later, you're in the Cotton Bowl. You think about the resources that he's going to have at a Big Ten program. I think he's got the possibility to be a little bit of a game changer in the West Division.
Yeah, he could. I think he's going to recruit really well, and I think he is a believer in the way he is, which is important, because if you're going to come across that way, the reaction a lot of people have is, oh, he's phony, he's not for real. And the worst people that can have that reaction are your players. But I don't think the players that stick with P.J. Fleck believe that. They do buy into who we see, because that is who he is. I mean, I've never seen P.J. any different as a coach than the way he comes across in these interviews. So I don't think it's phony. I do think he's going to have to coach and develop at a higher level. And it's different going from the MAC to the Big Ten when you have programs with coaches that have done it a lot longer than he has. And I think it's going to take some time for them maybe to get to a level where they can compete for a championship. Even though they're coming off of a very good season, they're not a very experienced team right now. They don't have as many of his recruits. So you know, it's not like Wisconsin's going to stop being Wisconsin. It's not like Iowa's going to go away, or Northwestern or Nebraska. I think Purdue is a program that's going to improve substantially under Jeff Brohm. So it's not going to be easy. I think PJ knows that, but there is an enthusiasm around that program that I think they need coming off of the unfortunate situation at the end of last year.
I want to ask you about Iowa a little bit. I know you talked with Sean Welsh earlier today, and we had him on the program as well, and it came out last Wednesday and announced to the world that he has depression. And what was your reaction when you heard that? Because it's not too often that you see a player that's got NFL aspirations like he does sort of open up and put himself out there, especially for something that could probably be viewed as a negative against him in that light.
Yeah, I don't view it as a negative at all. I think it's a tremendously courageous, and you know, I've done a number of stories on other college football players who have done this, talked about mental health in recent years. Jacob Gannon at Iowa State wrote about him. Washington had a player who actually quit the team last year to kind of go home and deal with his mental health issues, Isaiah Woods. And all of these guys, you know, to speak publicly, I just can't commend them more. You know, Sean has talked about the responses he's received. I think he's raised awareness. I think more athletes will reach out to him. I know Isaiah Woods, talking to him, he got a lot of messages from athletes, and Jay Guillermo, who is Clemson's starting center, dealt with a lot of mental health issues, and then actually had players come up to him in games and say, hey man, you know what you did gave me the courage to seek help. And so I think it's just tremendous. I think if I'm an NFL evaluator, I think even more highly of Sean Welsh after what he said than before. But he's obviously a tremendous player for the Iowa offensive line.
You're on the national scene now at ESPN.com. But your roots are in the Big Ten. Did you ever think that at any point in time you would hear the phrase Kirk Ferentz, Dean of College Football Coaches?
You know, I thought it was possible. I mean, again, there just aren't very many guys that started, you know, in the 90s. I mean, it was Bob Stoops and Kirk Ferentz, and you know, I was certainly surprised that Bob decided to step aside when he did. But you know, Kirk has and really is showing no signs of slowing down. So you know, he's a guy that I know many times we thought might be going to the NFL or going off to another job, but you know, he's been very loyal to Iowa. They have taken care of him very, very well as well over the years. And so, you know, it was going to be one of the two. And, you know, somewhat surprisingly, you know, now it's Kirk. But I think both of those coaches we thought were going to go on at those respective schools for a number of years.
Quarterback or wide receiver? Bigger question mark for the Iowa Hawkeyes this upcoming season.
Yeah, it's always quarterback. I mean, you know, that's the position that can make wide receivers better. And I know Iowa needs more playmakers. And talking to Brian Ferentz this spring, he wants to spark that passing attack, and they both go together. But to me, it's in this sport, it's having a difference maker at the quarterback position, and that should be the priority, ideally, before the camp is half over, to figure out who that person is, because that's really going to determine the running game should be good, offensive line should be solid, but that passing game, as you saw down the stretch, especially in the bowl game, if you can't throw the ball, it's going to be very, very hard. And you know, Florida really did expose them a little bit with their strength in the back end.
I'm going to wrap up today by asking you about Jim Delaney, who last year revealed that he's sort of working on an exit strategy, although he doesn't seem to be in too big of a hurry to leave. He got a little bit of pushback on a couple subjects here, and it's unusual to see, but I don't think Friday Night Football has gone over as well as he was hoping it would. And they capitulated a little bit on the FCS scheduling today as well with the 9-game Big Ten schedule. If you've got 5 road games, they're going to allow you to schedule an FCS team. Which one of those where are you more surprised at that they didn't go over well?
Oh, yeah, I guess I didn't think both of them would go over great, but definitely the FCS one. You know, I guess I expected Friday night games to go over poorly. So the fact that the FCS one has become a bit of a sticking point is a little bit surprising. I guess nothing should surprise me in modern day scheduling because everyone talks about how difficult it is. I don't think it needs to be so difficult, but with the demand for 7 home games, you know, these ADs are in a bit of a tight spot when they have those 5 guaranteed road games. And so, you know, I knew Friday night football in this conference, given the constituents and the resistance to any sort of midweek games. ESPN's wanted to get the Big Ten on midweek games forever. And, you know, this was maybe a move towards that, and there was a lot of pushback. So I think both of them, you know, I guess were not surprising, but I think the Friday night games were less surprising than the FCS. I thought they were going to stick to that one, and you know, clearly they're not in these cases.
Is Thursday an option? Do you think they'd look at that maybe to sort of placate both sides here?
I don't think the schools want to do it. I mean, I think that there's some schools that are open to doing it at the start of the season or at the very end. You see some Thursday night openers, including a Big Ten conference game this year with Ohio State visiting Indiana. But I just think the schools in this league, even though in my mind it's a great exposure opportunity for some of the lower profile schools, you know, Purdue, Indiana, Minnesota, Northwestern, why not be on a Thursday night when everyone can see you versus Saturday at 11 a.m. when your fans and no one else are seeing you? That's how I look at it. But I know a lot of fans disagree, and I know a lot of schools disagree. But so I think, you know, again, this is going to be a Saturday-heavy league aside from the start and end of the season.
Adam, moving back to the Big Ten East, I thought one of the biggest returnees for Penn State was their offensive coordinator, Joe Moorhead. Assuming they put up the numbers that we all expect that they might with Trace McSorley and Saquon Barkley at the helm, how coveted is he going to be as a head coaching prospect?
Oh, very. You know, Joe, again, has been a head coach already. He did a great job at Fordham. And then James Franklin hired him as Penn State's OC. He had some opportunities last year. He interviewed for jobs. And I think among coordinators around college football, there are not very many offensive coordinators, I think, that are hotter than Joe Moorhead, especially if you can follow up last year, which was such an exciting scheme. And, you know, that's what ADs like. They like offense. They like exciting offense. And, you know, he certainly provided it last year. I do think he's a guy that has the ability to wait for something that fits him well. He's not going to just take the first job out there, so it has to be something that makes sense for him and his family. I know he doesn't want to move his family around very much. They obviously moved from New York to Pennsylvania, so it would have to be a good fit. But, you know, he is a heck of a coach and would expect him to have some opportunities after this season.
Well, Adam, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. We know you've got a story to write, and we turn you loose, or we very much appreciate you stopping by. Adam Rittenberg at ESPN.com. And that will do it for right now. We'll step aside and take a quick break. We come back, Kyle's going to have another Big Board update for you, and Mark Morehouse, bottom of the hour, to talk about the Iowa Hawkeye news we learned today. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show on the way after this.
For over 30 years, IT Solutions has been taking care of businesses' technology needs. Learn more at IneedMyComputersToWork.com.
Hey, boss, is our computer network up and running yet?
No, they're still working on it.
It's been over 2 days. How much longer is it going to be?
I don't know. Everything seemed to be working fine, so I didn't think we needed to do anything. Then, when we lost all our files to that virus, I called some guy and he said our virus protection and backups weren't working correctly. He's still trying to get our files back.
I told you we needed to call IT Solutions before we had a problem.
I know.
The office where my brother works uses IT Solutions, and they aren't having any problems. My sister's business had a virus slip through, but they had all their files back in 30 minutes.
I wish that was us.
Well, since we can't get any work done around here, go to IneedMyComputersToWork.com now.
IT Solutions has been taking care of businesses' technology needs for over 30 years. Learn more at IneedMyComputersToWork.com before it's too late.
You know that old saying, time is money? Well, that couldn't be truer when it comes to real estate these days. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and how that affects how much you sell your home for. If you tried to sell it a while back and couldn't get your price, let Doug McAllister and Pinnacle give it another try. The time has never been better than right now to get your price. Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Time is wasting.
Your kids can't wait to play football, so sign them up for the Metro Youth Football Association's 2017 season. There's a new flag football program for third graders with pads to introduce tackle techniques with no kid-to-kid contact. Fourth through eighth graders play tackle, and everybody will learn and have a blast. Your child's safety is Metro Youth's first priority, with only high-quality fitted youth equipment and all coaches certified with USA Football. Practice begins August 14th, and equipment fittings have already started. So register now at MetroYouthFootball.com.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
So is this Daddy's chair, or is this Doug's chair?
I think it's Doug's.
Okay. Well, somebody thought it would be interesting if we swapped chairs during the last break.
That's
there. Welcome.
Just disturbing.
It is. It's on a number of levels. I think we're getting
highly questionable.
We're all getting a little stir crazy here at 626. Welcome back in. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, Kyle Mann, Rob Norton, coming to you from the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place in Chicago. It's day one of Big Ten Media Days. Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, bringing you our coverage here. You can catch it all on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM, our main gym frequency here at KGYM. Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, set to join us in just a few minutes, but before we get there, we'll send it over to Kyle for another Big Board update, and after that, a little NBA news as well. Kyle?
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell was included on the Big Ten preseason honors list announced this morning at Big Ten Media Day. Jewell was one of only 10 Big Ten players honored, and this is just another in a long list of preseason awards for him. He was also named a first-team preseason All-American and first-team All-Big Tener, as well as being named to a handful of watch lists. Iowa also released its depth chart today, which has at least for now answered some Hawkeye fans' questions. Nathan Stanley is listed as the starting quarterback over Tyler Wiegers, and Nick Easley is set to start at receiver opposite Matt Vandenberg. The chart also showed two tight ends. Kirk Ferentz also confirmed to us here in Chicago that Iowa will use an alternate uniform for an undetermined home game next season. The Iowa State baseball tournament continues this week, today with Class 2A quarterfinal matchups, including Iowa City Regina. The fourth-seeded Regals downed number 5 Trainer 5-0 and will play Dyersville Beckman on Thursday. The Cedar Rapids Colonels won all three of their games over the weekend, a finale with Great Lakes on Friday, and the first two games of a series with the Lansing Lugnuts on Saturday and Sunday. They played the finale of that series at noon today, and the Colonels dropped that one, 3-1. They'll be off tomorrow as they travel to Peoria. Tonight on KGYM, we'll have Bartolo Colon making at least one more start for the Twins, taking on Tenchi Ryu and the Dodgers. That's the first game of a series in L.A., so first pitch isn't till shortly after 9, but you'll be able to hear that on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
Vote in our poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Who is Iowa's starting quarterback in Week 1? Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, and we'll ask our next guest that when we return. It's Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. 628, more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn to come right here on KGYM.
Hey, it's Jim. I can't take your call right now. I'm digging for oil in my basement to help pay for my family's mobile bill. A little crazy, you say? You try getting a data plan that has enough gigs for my family. And I thought braces were expensive. We definitely need a switch.
Stuck in a dysfunctional family plan? Switch to Boost Best Family Plan right now and get four lines for just $25 per line, each with unlimited gigs. With Metro PCS, you only get 2 gigs per line for the same price. Plus, switch today and get up to 4 free phones, all on the fast and reliable Sprint Nationwide network. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
Offer ends 9/10/17. Requires one line to port in. Lines include unlimited data, talk, and text. Video streams optimized at up to 480p plus resolution. Music up to 500 kilobits per second and cloud gaming up to 2 megabits per second. Data deprioritization applies during congestion. Comparison based on Metro PCS's 2GB promo plan as of 4/25/17. For additional details, visit their website. Free phones while supplies last. Requires port in and activation on $100 plan. Coverage and offers not available everywhere. Restrictions apply.
Dude, you look different.
Well, my body is glowing gold.
No, it's not that. Did you get a new shirt?
No, I joined the Fuel Rewards program at Shell and got instant gold status.
No, did you lose weight?
No, it's the gold status. I save 5 cents a gallon on every fill every day.
Got it. It's a tan.
Get rewarded with instant gold status at Shell with the Fuel Rewards program. It's free to join. So join now at fuelrewards.com/gold. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details. Doesn't actually turn bodies gold.
Once upon a time, there was a new crossover that refused to play by the rules. It flipped the script and made all the others look like fools. Featuring styling that's sexier by far and handles like a rock star. Introducing the first ever Toyota CHR.
Enjoy agile handling in the body of a seductive crossover that comes with standard 18-inch alloy wheels. The first ever Toyota CHR. The perfect ride to spin your own tail. Toyota. Let's go places.
Back to the Todd Bromel Camp Show, right here on KGYM.
It is 6:31, and we are in the home stretch. The last 28 minutes of the Todd Bromel Camp Show coming your way from the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place in Chicago. Day one of Big Ten Media Days, essentially in the books. There's still a couple of us stragglers hanging out on Radio Row. You know, they want us to leave at 5 o'clock every day, and every year there's at least a couple
of us
here.
They let us break the rules.
We get to break the rules, although I think they did dim the lights on us a little bit earlier today. Day two will continue tomorrow. Iowa took care of most of their media duties today, but we will be here broadcasting beginning at 3 o'clock as well tomorrow. So tune in and join us. Great show today. We've had Joel Klatt from Fox Sports 1, Sean Welsh, Kirk Ferentz was with us at 5 o'clock, P.J. Fleck at 5:30, just finished up with Adam Rittenberg, and joining us now here, Mark Morehouse from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and plenty of Iowa news to get to today. The depth chart, always released at Big Ten Media Days, and where do you want to start and dive in on this one, Mark, because we've got Aaron Menz listed third at linebacker. I think certainly caught some people off guard. The quarterback situation, there's no or, but Kirk Ferentz says there still is sort of an or going into fall camp. And then the appearance of two tight ends, which I think we all saw coming, but this sort of formalizes it.
They might have done the two tight ends thing toward the end of last year.
Did they?
Remember against Michigan, Iowa's best move was the two tight ends getting wildly quickly on the edge and outside zone stuff, getting tight ends blocking safeties, and that worked out great. So I think they might have at the end of last year done that. So, yeah, it is heading that way, and it's going to be tight end Orama, I think, the Iowa's offense. Kirk was asked about wide receivers today. He said he'd like to have two. I think that's might be a stretch at this point, but we'll see. Matt Vandenberg's here. I kind of joked with him, yeah, you haven't played football for 10 months, and here you are talking football. And he kind of chuckled. I think he enjoyed the humor there, but maybe not. Aaron Menz, I kind of forgot about him, to tell you the truth. I think his best way to the field might be that Raider package. I think he's got some value there. If he were a little taller, maybe he'd be Nate Meyer, you know. Maybe. I don't know.
Were you surprised not to see the or between Stanley and Uyghur's name?
Yeah, because I think they're trying to play that up at least for motivational purposes. You know what I mean? Like, keeping a guy interested on a depth chart who might have options if he gets disgruntled, and I think Tyler Uyghur's kind of fits in that category. He's a super student, and he's probably very, very engage in the academic side of things at Iowa. I think he wants to be a doctor. He might even be a pre-med major or something like that. So he's deep into his academics. I'm not sure if football is a thing that would cause him to transfer, but, boy, you sure want to have a guy who's been in your system for 4 years be the backup. I'm assuming Nathan Stanley's going to win the job. I should have probably led with that. But I assume Mason Stanley's going to win the job. You want to keep Tyler Riegers engaged and around and enthusiastic and on the team. And then you hope Peyton Manziel can maybe, you know, add a little flair to the things. But Riegers, just like sort of John Wainke and a couple other backup quarterbacks, pretty important guy because he's an older quarterback who's still around just in case the starter gets hurt.
Mark Morehouse with us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette today. We know Akram Wadley is going to be the number one running back. Now, Butler did not make it onto the depth chart, but they did slide him into the actual media guide, which was released today. But Toron Young, Toksa Kinrabadi, a couple of the young running backs. What do you expect the backfield to look like in Brian Ferentz's first year as offensive coordinator?
I think today, one little thing that I don't know if he wanted to let this out or not, but Kirk talked about wide receivers, and he talked about Akram Wadley lining up out there. He said we'd be foolish not to at least, you know, explore that. And so that makes sense, and I think we're probably going to get more James Butler than we think. What are you guys? I think that's where I'm at. I think he's he probably will get more carries than Akram Wadley. More carries. Now, I'm not saying more touches. So everybody out there chill. I think Wadley will lead the team in touches. I think he has to. Last year, averaged 6.8 yards a touch, top 10 player in the Big Ten in that yards from scrimmage. Get him the ball. Get him the ball a whole bunch of different ways. Maybe they can rely on James Butler being the back.
I asked you this during the spring, but is it becoming more and more apparent, and back to the tight end thing, that we're going to see Noah Fant split out wide at some point this season?
I think we did last year. When you say wide, I mean the slot. He's not going to be the split end. I forgot to look that up. That's Devontae Young. Last year it was Tavon. There's a position Tavon Smith played. He's not going to be the wide out, but I think you're going to see the tight ends used in a whole bunch of different ways. I think Fon is a fairly important player in this. I think he's a little bit ahead of Sean Beyer, but I think Sean Beyer's a guy who might see some time because I think he's a guy who can stretch a defense. I asked Matt Vandenberg about vertical threat with this offense. Of course, that's the last thing he wants to hear from a reporter like me. Vandenberg's the guy who's starting at split end, so thank you for that. I think that vertical threat is one thing that this offense is going to have to pick its spots. I think tight end seam routes are going to be an element in that. Maybe not the go-to, but an element. And Matt Vandenberg, who's still kind of being throttled, but as far as how much he can participate. But he's in. Right now, I think Font Beyer will be interesting, and then the other guys will block. T.J. Hockenson kind of making a little bit of he's listed as a starter. Interesting guy. Big sort of reminds me of Brandon Myers a little bit.
I was going to ask you about him because Iowa's media day is August 5th, August 6th, whatever 5th. That Saturday is.
Yep.
And I was going to ask you if you thought maybe T.J. Hockenson would be one of the most requested guys because redshirt freshman set a ton of records at Sheraton coming out of high school, and all of a sudden, bang, there he is on the depth chart today.
Yeah, I think he will be. I'm intrigued by the athleticism. I remember during recruiting there was a picture of him playing basketball, going up for a rebound, and his hands above the white striped box thingy. So to me, that's high. That's way off the ground, you know, because I'm earthbound. But I think he'll be interesting. Ferentz did mention it, and I don't want to throw Falconer and Devontae Young out. Guys hit at different times, and it'll be kind of late for Adrian Falconer, you know, him being a junior. It'll be kind of late, but boy, how much would that help if he did hit? There are several wide receivers. I mean, Easley, if he hits, Nick Easley. So that they need some guys to hit there. You gamble more than I do. Yeah, I think so. Maybe not. But these guys, they need some guys. They need some 21s. They need some 21s with some of the wide receivers.
When Brian Ferentz took over, the first thing he said was that it's very clear that the passing game needs to improve from last year. Is that realistic with the lack of experience both at quarterback and wide receiver?
You know, yeah, I think it is, maybe, but I don't think the numbers will drastically change. I don't know how they could. I mean, if you look at the passing game this year, last year, Beathard's gone. That's a big deal. George Kittle's gone. Pretty big deal, even though he was hurt a lot last year. He was a calming presence. I mean, he was a guy who could get things going, and he, you know, he owned that Purdue game until, what was it, the heel or, foot injury that he had, midfoot sprain. That's, you know, that took a chunk out of things last year. 2,800 yards. That's what an Iowa quarterback needs to pass for. I mean, that's what Beathard passed for in the Rose Bowl year. That is a healthy season for Iowa's passing game. If Iowa, you know, look at that number. I think that number's right now on paper unrealistic. But that doesn't mean that this team will go 2-10 because it can't pass for 2,800 yards.
The Gazette's Mark Morehouse with us here. What did you think of Ferentz's demeanor today? I thought he seemed, when he joined us, I thought he seemed laid back. And usually when he's laid back, it kind of means he knows something that we don't.
Yeah, sometimes I think that. I think he's to the point where he kind of finds this stuff amusing.
Yeah.
You know, the guy, the Hawkeye guy holding the tray.
He was a big fan. He was a big fan.
I mean, at Twizzlers. I mean, I'm a fan. I think he finds this all kind of amusing at this point. I think, you know, I don't know how it's going to go down. You know, Brian Ferentz, Kirk Ferentz. I don't know who, you know, Brian Ferentz will be the head coach in Iowa. But, you know, I think it'll be very different. I mean, there'll be he's more, and I think he revealed that this spring with the Register and the podcast and the calling out the million scholarships at Iowa State and then the PJ Fleck. I think there'll be more of that. I think Brian likes that and needs that and wants to be in that world. You know, Kirk just finds things amusing now. I mean, he's 62. He'll be 62. He's getting paid $5 million a year. His team, you know, his offensive line is good, Todd. So that's his thing. His offensive line should be good. And, so I think he's in a good place. I think he's probably nervous about wide receiver and quarterback, just like everybody.
Speaking of PJ Fleck, we had him on in hour number 3 of the program, and he is full of energy. We know about how good of a recruiter he is. How wary should these teams in the Western Division be about him, especially on the recruiting trail?
I think we've seen that a little bit with Iowa already. I mean, they've got the wide receiver Emir Smith-Marset from New Jersey. There was some back and forth with Iowa on that one. Noah Shannon, defensive tackle. There was some back and forth. He committed to Minnesota. Both those guys committed to Minnesota. Ended up decommitting and going to Iowa. I think get used to hearing PJ Fleck's name on the recruiting trail when it comes to Iowa prospects. I mean, one thing that last year, Iowa wasn't after Geno Stone until after Michigan State offered. Then there was some interest. I think Iowa kind of leads the way for a few teams like that, Minnesota I think being one. Not that PJ Fleck doesn't do his own homework, but hey, an Iowa offer probably opens your eyes a little bit. And, you know, he wants to be successful. He's a heart. Did you guys get the feeling that the energy, did you feel like you were being sold something? Or
no.
Did you feel like, I want to work with this guy?
I say no, and I say that because I went to college with someone who went to high school with him.
Okay.
And I've been told by my friend from college that to a lesser extent, but he was that way in high school, that he's always had a uber-positive outlook on life, that he's always been a hard worker, and that he's just very driven and believes in himself. And so I buy into it. But, I mean, he sat here and told us, look, you know, some people don't, and he's not going to fault them for that. Mm-hmm. But the guys that are with him are with him to the end. So I do think it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And I think it's going to breathe a little fire into that Floyd of Rosedale rivalry, especially with Brian's comments about the way that the new coaching staff up there. And well, Rob Smith is the defensive coordinator, who was a graduate assistant at Iowa, so there's some ties there on the Minnesota staff. So, yeah, I really think that that's going to be a game changer in the Big Ten West. I want to talk about some other topics that came up today. Is Friday Night Football dead before it even, you know, was it stillborn, I guess is what I'm asking.
I'll say this, and I think that's a great way to put it. If Northwestern can shake it off, It's dead.
Okay.
In my opinion, Northwestern has...
Because they were supposed to three.
They were, was it two, three?
I think two or three.
I thought it was two. And Northwestern said, nah, we're not doing that. And so to me, if Northwestern has the cachet to send Delaney that, it's dead. But I'll say this, Todd. I think Thursday will come into play.
See, I asked Adam Rittenberg about that a couple minutes ago because I saw you mention it on Twitter earlier today. And he says he thinks even that's going to be a non-starter with the league schools. He just says the schools don't want to do it.
Then it won't happen. I do think I think this is all TV generated. This wasn't Delaney saying, "Yeah, I really feel like we need to have some Friday night inventory." It's ESPN, Fox, BTN saying, "Hey, man, where are we going to put all these games?" And so I think Friday was kind of the logical, move or play. Northwestern shot it down. I would say it's dead, but I do think there'll be another night. And I do think there'll be an occasional Thursday. Will Iowa have to play one of those? I don't think so.
Were you surprised that Jim Delaney walked back on his team's scheduling FCS games?
I think that was one of the underrated stories of the day, and I was shocked. Not really shocked, but I was surprised because they were so adamant about it. And it was such a, the SEC, they have that, I want to say bye week in November when everybody plays the
Citadel.
Their
homecoming.
When the Citadel ABC plays every other team in the SEC. I thought that was a real differentiator for the Big Ten. I think that was a kind of a badge of honor, and Delaney was kind of proud of that stamp. Now it's gone. I like the logic. I think they realized the market for those teams that, by cutting out FCS, they made the market for, it's a small market. That's why I was paying $1.4 million for Middle Tennessee State.
I think I said this earlier today, but Wisconsin and Notre Dame gets announced today. The Tribune broke that. Is it probably time for Gary Barta to get Arkansas State back on the phone? I mean, Iowa fans want to see a Notre Dame-type neutral site series. The Iowa State series is standing in the way right now.
And that is what it is. Talk to a guy who was at Iowa who's not at Iowa anymore, pretty high up. Iowa State, Iowa tried to have something interesting in 2019 with Middle Tennessee State? I think it is.
Yeah, that sounds about
right.
They
tried to do something interesting with that date. This is, if you remember last year, Barta...
The very cryptic comment that he made here
maybe I kind of want to do that.
Exactly.
And so Iowa went to Iowa State, and it's $1 million to get out of it for a year. And Iowa State said, nah, we're going to charge you. And so... Iowa, whatever plans they had, I don't know what plans they had. Maybe it was with Notre Dame and Iowa at Soldier Field. I don't know that. I do know that Iowa did try to do something. Iowa State didn't play.
Wisconsin scheduling Notre Dame, and I look back at the way that Wisconsin's season went last year. They beat LSU, and all of a sudden they're on the map nationally. It completely elevated what everybody thought about that program, and especially going into this season, too. Do you think that resonates at all in Iowa City, seeing the way a program like Wisconsin really elevated their stature with a non-conference game?
Absolutely, and I think that it's a big deal, and I think if you're Iowa, you don't... Wisconsin has some big differentiation. It's in Wisconsin. It has Lambeau Field, and it's gotten smart enough, and the Packers are, hey, we'll take your money. So they're smart enough now to use that, and now a Notre Dame game in Lambeau is going to be huge. Iowa doesn't have that. We don't have a pro team. We can't play that card in Iowa. But the University of Iowa can't let Wisconsin differentiate itself too much like that, because I don't know what you guys think, but Iowa has to stay close to Wisconsin. Meaning, Wisconsin's had much more success the last few years. On the field, the games have been toe to toe, but Wisconsin's gone to three Rose Bowls. Bielema took them to three Rose Bowls. Iowa's been to one. Wisconsin has been to I don't know how many Big Ten title games now. Iowa has to get back to those. Iowa can't let Wisconsin differentiate itself like that too much. So that's why usually when it comes to scheduling talk, and I understand how Iowa and Iowa State are tied together, and it's just kind of a natural, and that game's been played 41 or two straight years now. But Iowa can't let Wisconsin have those types of things. Iowa has to go after that, and it has to keep up with Wisconsin, or people are going to lose interest pretty quickly.
Mark Morehouse joining us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Any other takeaways from day one? And I know you're looking forward to getting out of here after day one. We're sticking around for day two, but Anything else that you walked away? Maybe the reaction that folks had here to Sean Welsh, because I know we predicted last week that he was going to be a popular interview subject, and we certainly saw him make his way up and down Radio Row. But just the way that that story was embraced by a lot of people didn't really catch me off guard, but I don't know if I quite expected the reaction that it got.
I'm not sure who in Iowa was pushing the buttons on it, on Sean talking last week.
And he did. I asked him about that earlier today, and he didn't really reveal. I said, why now? What was the timing behind that? And we didn't really get an answer for it. But
to me, the timing of it, the exact timing of it, gave him a giant platform. Everybody's dying for college football news right now. Everybody, you know, your message boards and Hawkeye, everything Hawkeye, dying for college football news. Comes out with an uber positive story like that. I think it was Kirk who was the one kind of pushing the button. They put it out at the perfect time. It ran national like that, as it should, because it's absolutely positive and it's a topic that we all deal with. And so I think that smart move there. And yeah, that played. And one thing that strikes me, you guys tell me, you guys saw the players more than I did. They are running through hoops all day here, and by the time we get them for that hour at a table, they're drained. I mean, they seemed really kind of whacked out today. They run through a lot of the stuff. I saw Josie Jewell wearing a jersey and a helmet at one point. All the other TV interviews. I mean, they interview Fox and ESPN.
They did a live hit on BTN, and the coaches are the same way. Because and we didn't get a chance to ask him about this, but the BTN had Kirk Ferentz read mean tweets.
I haven't seen that yet.
I think it's for something that they're using later on in the season, but that's ratings gold, isn't it?
I'm gonna say this. I think that they have to disqualify Ferentz. You cannot get mean tweets if you're not on Twitter, right?
That's
a great point. I mean, they could read my Twitter feed and read mean tweets about Kirk Ferentz, but he's not getting them because he's not on Twitter.
But, well, it sounds like he was a good sport and he played along, and we appreciate you being a good sport with us here today because we know you're busy and you've got a lot of work to do. So we'll turn you loose, and then you can head back to Cedar Rapids. But we'll see you in a couple weeks at Iowa's Media Day, and we'll ask some of the same questions and get some of the same answers that we got here in Chicago from the people who didn't make the trip Chicago.
We're close to real answers, though, Todd. Camp starts Sunday.
Yeah.
And Kids Day is in just 2 weeks, and then we're looking at a season.
Well, I think there's one answer that needs to be out there, and that's who Iowa's quarterback is. And Chuck Long told us he thinks it may be 3 or 4 games before they really truly know whether they're committing to one guy and moving forward. You might have to check out his segment on our podcast because I didn't think Chuck was overly
optimistic about
Iowa quarterback situation.
I don't know how much Chuck has seen, but if you know, you go off what we've seen, spring, there was nothing to really judge a quarterback on. And if there was a judge, interceptions and missed passes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an ugly spring for quarterbacks. So questions are deserved at this point.
Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, always good to get caught up with you.
And thank you.
We'll turn you and your turkey jerky loose.
back yes.
Here on, we've done it. We've officially outlasted every single person on Radio Row with the exception, well, I think somebody's just over there sitting and doing some work. It is 6:53. Running out of time, we'll step aside really quick. When we come back, Kyle's going to have a big board update for you. Derrick Rose officially a Cleveland Cavalier, too. So some big NBA news on a day dominated by Big Ten football talk here at the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show after this.
DEPACO is a local financial cooperative that gives back to its members, like me. Just for keeping and growing my savings and services with them, my share was $200. They call it thank yous. Extra money I use to spoil the grandkids. And it makes me feel like $1 million.
At a financial cooperative, members are owners. It's member participation that powers DEPACO Community Credit Union. Thank yous is money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and spending. Last year, DEPACO members shared in more than $2.85 million in thank yous. How will you use yours?
Get a gym membership.
Go to the movies.
Donate it to charity.
Pay down my student loan.
Add to my retirement savings.
Buy that purse I just saw. Learn more at dupaco.com/thank yous. Participate, cooperate, accumulate. The more you use DuPaco, the more you're thanked. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
On every job site, the formula is the same. Less downtime equals more profit. Reduce that downtime with top-notch machinery from Star Equipment, like the JLG engine-powered boom lifts that will make those hard-to-reach jobs a breeze. These units are equipped with sky power so you can run equipment in the air. And for the greatest horizontal reach, a telescopic boom lift will put you right where you need to be. Rent or buy from Star Equipment and improve your job site profits. Star Equipment, Iowa born in 1968. StarEquip.com.
At TCB Pool Hall in Iowa City, there won't be any jerks hanging over your shoulder screwing up your shot because they rent their full-size, emphasize full-size pool tables by the hour. And they got 10 of them, so that table's yours. Sunday and Mondays come in and play free. Yes, I said free. General jocularity prevails. There's always interesting drinks, specials, darts, video games, and a full-size shuffleboard table, which, as we know, is the world's best drinking game. Play pool, drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall on the Ped Mall next to Mondo's Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
You know, I pushed Mark toward the podcast, and I'll do the same to you listening if you joined us late today. We've been here since 3 o'clock on the air. KGYMradio.com, the place to check out the show in its entirety. And join us back here tomorrow, as we've got a great lineup of guests, the second and final day of Big Ten Media Day. John Bonenkamp from the Burlington Hawkeye is going to stop by. We'll have Josie Jewell and Matt Vandenberg with us as well. And I believe Nebraska quarterback Tanner Lee has been promised to us as well by the Nebraska SID. And Brady Quinn.
Also, Brady Quinn and Dave Wanstead said he might stop by as well.
Dave Wanstead, that's right. For all of our Bears fans out there in Eastern Iowa, the former Bears coach with us. Let's get out of here on a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell was included on the Big Ten preseason honors list announced this morning here at Big Ten Media Day. Jewell was one of only 10 Big Ten players honored, and this is just another on a long list of preseason awards for him. He is also named a first-team preseason All-American, first-team All-Big Tenner, and has been named to a handful of watch lists in the past few weeks. Iowa also released his depth chart today, which has at least for now answered some Hawkeye fans' questions. Nathan Stanley is listed as the starting quarterback over Tyler Wiegers, and Nick Easley is set to start at receiver opposite Matt Vandenberg. The chart also showed two tight ends. Kirk Ferentz also confirmed to us here in Chicago that Iowa will use an alternate uniform for an undetermined home game next season. The Iowa State baseball tournament continues this week today with Class 2A quarterfinal matchups, including Iowa City Regina. The fourth-seeded Regals down number 5 Trainer 5-0 and will play Dyersville Beckman on Thursday. The Cedar Rapids Colonels won all three of their games over the weekend, a finale with Great Lakes on Friday, and the first two games of a series with the Lansing Lugnuts on Saturday and Sunday. They played the finale of that series at noon today, and the Colonels dropped that one 3-1. They'll be off tomorrow as they travel to Peoria. Tonight on KGYM, we'll have Bartolo Colon making at least one more start for the Twins, taking on Tenchi Rio and the Dodgers. That's the first game of a series out in Los Angeles, so first pitch isn't going to be until shortly after 9. You can hear it on 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids.
Well, this was a lot of fun today. We'll have to reconvene and do it again tomorrow from Radio Row. It's day 2 of our coverage, Big Ten Media Day. A big thank you to Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City for sponsoring the countdown to kickoff, as well as our 2 days of broadcasts from the Hyatt Regency McCormick Place in Chicago. For Alex and Kyle, for Rob, for Doug, for Daddy, Todd Brommelkamp signing off. I don't know what we're doing tonight, but we will be back on the air tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it.
It's time for some straight talk. Those big wireless companies.